Luke chapter number 1, we have the foundation laid for what happens in Luke chapter number 2. And so Luke chapter number 2 would be the traditional story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will go over into that some. But I want you to, before we stand, to look at Luke chapter number 1, and let me give you some explanation. For those of you familiar with your Bibles, you understand this. There may be some that's not as familiar, and that's fine. There was a time when I wasn't real familiar with it. But in Luke chapter number 1, I want to kind of explain to you what's happening in this chapter, because there's actually two babies involved in this story. And if you don't understand what's happened, you could get a little confused about what we're talking about or which one we're talking about. Starting in verse number 1 all the way down to verse number 25, this is the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, an older couple, an elderly couple that had never had children, and the miraculous appearance of an angel and the promise of a miracle child in their old age. That child was going to grow up, and the angel told them this, and be the prophet that would go before Jesus Christ and announce him and prepare the way. Of course, they were going to give birth to none other than John, who would be known later as John the Baptist. Amen. Then in verse number 26, the angel appears to Mary, and the angel tells Mary concerning what God is going to use her for. And of course, Mary is going to be the one that gives birth to the Christ child. So we have Zacharias and Elizabeth, a miracle birth. And then we have Mary, another miracle birth. Verses 39 down through verse number 56, these two ladies get together. And we see their conversation. And of course, Mary's heart overflows and she magnifies the Lord in these beautiful scriptures. I want to begin reading now verse 57 down towards the end of the chapter. And this is the story of the birth of John the Baptist. And we are, of course, going to focus this morning on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's something that Zacharias says about the Lord Jesus Christ and his birth that I want to use as our starting place, our beginning point for the message this morning. Luke chapter number 1, verse 57. If you're able to, let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Luke 1, 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake. This is Zacharias that spake, and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with them. Now notice verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." Now I want you to notice he shifts then, and he begins in verse 76 to address his newborn child. I kind of have this picture of Zacharias prophesying and proclaiming these words as he holds his eight-day-old baby boy. And then he looks down into the face of that child. And in verse 76, he says, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Heavenly Father, what precious words. And Lord, kind of a small story that oftentimes is jumped over as we proceed on to Luke chapter 2. Perhaps a story, a small story that we skim read when maybe we ought to stop and contemplate deeper. Lord, thank you for these words of prophecy that left the lips of Zacharias. Thank you for what he said about your son, Jesus Christ, Lord. May we learn some things. May we see some things. May we see Christmas Day a little better, a little brighter, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. In the scriptures, Jesus is called both the Son of God and the Son of Man. There's ample evidence of the divine nature of our Savior, the Son of God part. He healed man's infirmities, raised the dead, stilled the storms, and fed thousands with a sack lunch. There's also proof aplenty that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What do you mean? He was also just as much the Son of Man. He hungered and thirsted. He experienced weariness and exhaustion. He both slept and wept, and he knew both sorrow and pain. Another undeniable proof that Jesus joined for a time the human race is the timing of his birth. You see, Jesus was born at night. I rest my case. He was human. If you are a human baby, chances are you're being born after the sun sets. Now, I actually Googled this and researched this to see if that is actually accurate and to read on all of the theories why most babies are born at night. And I read everything from some things that made sense to some things that were so ridiculous that I won't even give voice to them. But after I read all of that, I kind of came to my own conclusion. I think I know why most babies are born at night. Most babies are born at night because young wives and mothers are so busy during the day, they don't have time to have a baby until after everybody's in bed and they can take a minute. So that's my theory. And all the ladies said, all right, there you go. All right. Now, if you will, look back at our text, and I want to draw your attention to verse 76 through 79. "And thou, child," speaking, this is Zacharias addressing a little eight-day-old boy by the name of John. "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." Now, I want to draw your attention to what's said in verse 78 and 79. "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." Wow. The day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. These words were spoken by Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. He's speaking for the first time in months. You see, when he entered into the temple to offer incense before the Holy of Holies, and this has been over 9 months ago, an angel appeared unto him and promised that he would have a baby boy. He questioned how that was possible, and because of his doubt, his lack of faith, he said, "You want a sign? I'll give you a sign." That angel said, "I'll give you a sign, Zacharias. You're not going to say another word until after the child is born." And for the next 9 months, he never spoke a word. He came out of the Holy of Holies, back out into the courtyard, and he's He's pointing and he's making signs and he's trying to tell them what happened, but he could not speak a word. The day came when John was born, and then, of course, 8 days later, the day of his dedication, and the family decided he should be named after Zacharias, his father, so they gave him that name. But the mother was very, very adamant about this. No, 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 his name is to be John. And they said, well, nobody in your family's named John. Who are you naming this child after? He should be called after his father. And finally they looked to Zacharias, and he asked for something to write on, and he wrote, his name is John. He didn't say his name shall be. He said, his name is John. Because he'd already been told what to name that baby by the angel that appeared to him in the temple that day. So are you with me so far? All right, the words he spoke, now looking from verses, these words were spoken by Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. He's speaking for the first time in months. He's speaking to his newborn son. These, however, are not normal words, not regular words. These aren't just coming out of his head or from his heart, because in verse number 67, it says, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying. So from verses 68 to verse 79, Zacharias was not just speaking, he was prophesying. The words he spoke came from God, came as he was filled with the Holy Ghost. These are not his opinions. These are the words of God, a prophecy concerning his son, John, and God's son, Jesus Christ. And in these divine words, he calls Jesus four different things. Verse 69, he calls him an horn of salvation. In verse 76, he refers to Christ as the highest. In verse 76, again, he refers to Christ as the Lord. But I want you to notice in verse 78, in verse number 78, he uses this phrase here. He says, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. The day spring from on high. And I'm reading the Christmas story, and I look at that beautiful title, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I got busy studying, and it filled my heart, and I'm going to share it with you this morning. The word day spring here means a burst of light. It literally means the springing forth of a day. We might call it dawn, or we might call it the sunrise. What are you saying, preacher? Well, I'm not saying it. Zacharias said it. But wait a minute. Zacharias didn't say it. God gave him the words to say it. And this is what he was telling us. Jesus was the dawn that happened at midnight. He was the light that sprang forth in darkness. He was the sunrise that chased away night. He was the brightness that erased the shadows, the lamp that dispelled the darkness. And we see this dawning in the middle of the night over in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Watch this. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Can we look at the wording of that again? Yes, the angel of the Lord came upon them, but it does not say that the glory of the angel of the Lord shone round about them. It says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying Christmas is not just the celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it is that, but it's so much more than that. It's a celebration of the lighting of an eternal flame. It's a beacon signaling hope. Christmas is a sun ray bursting through the clouds, a lighthouse christened in the midst of a hurricane. Christmas is a flare gun shot from heaven. And yes, Brother Zacharias, Jesus is the highest, and he is the Lord, and he is the horn of our salvation. But on that first night, he was the day spring, the sunrise, the light of the world beaming from a manger bed. That light blinded the eyes of the devil with doom and shone forth peace and goodwill towards men. This shouldn't surprise us, because all through the Bible, Jesus is equated with light. In Second Corinthians chapter 4, we see Jesus shining forth the light of the glorious gospel. In Revelation 22, Jesus said, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And Malachi 4:2, Jesus is called the S-U-N, Son of Righteousness. Arise with healing in thy wings. In John chapter 1, Jesus is called the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we read this about the Savior, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. David said this of our Lord in Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? He went on to say in Psalms 36, verse 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. I therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings, for with thee is the fountain of light. In thy light shall we see light. In thy light shall we see light. The disciple, the apostle John, wrote this in the opening words of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. Remember John, he was born. He came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. He's the day spring. He's the day spring. Jesus laid claim to being the light of the world when he was here on earth by his very words. In John chapter 8, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John chapter 3, he said this, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that are wrought in God. John 9, verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. These are the words of Jesus. He said this in John 11:9, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. In John chapter 12, Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. John 12, verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Where did all this start? It started on that Christmas morning. It started in the middle of the night when dawn burst forth at midnight. Peter, James, and John caught a peek of the Savior in his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. By the way, when you get to heaven, ask Brother Paul about what he saw on the road to Damascus. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. But you know what? As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Who showed up that day? The light of the world showed up that day. John the Revelator saw a vision of Jesus in his full glory while he was imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos. And boy, we get a description of the Son of God in his glorified body. That's a wonder to read. It says that John said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of God, Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, and his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Folks, I got that title of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I just couldn't get away from it. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying we could be here for a while. I'm saying if we're going to go to every place in the Bible that equates Jesus with light, we could be here a while. I'm saying this, Brother Zachariah, you got it right. When you spoke to your newborn son, you were prophesying to a baby prophet who would grow up and introduce the world to their Messiah. On that day, Zechariah was speaking God's word, God's descriptions, proclaiming the truth, and it came to pass. On that first Christmas night, the sun that lighteth every man, Jesus dawned bright at midnight. Jesus came as the day spring, the light of the world. He was the true light that lighteth every man. He was sunshine in darkness, illumination in the midst of condemnation. He came to shine a light on our sins, then die for the very sins that he pointed out. Jesus was and is the bright exit light that can lead you out of a burning building. He's the lighthouse that can guide you through the raging storms. He's the bright morning star that can help you find your way. Don't try to walk through another year, folks. Don't try to walk through another year in darkness. If you're trying to live your life without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're living it in the dark. Believe in the light today. Accept the light. Walk in the light. Share the light in this upcoming year with other people. Jesus was that day spring, that day spring. You say, preacher, what does this all mean to us this morning? I'm going to land the plane rather quickly. Put your seatbelts on. Put your tables up in a locked position and your chairs up into an upright position. We're going to start landing the plane. You know what? I think that there was a significance to the fact that Jesus came at midnight and that when he came, he lighted up the heavens with his glory. I know the shepherds saw that light that day, but the sleepy folks in Bethlehem, were they aware when all of a sudden it became noonday at midnight? Maybe a few of them stirred and shielded their eyes a bit and thought, what in the world is going on when all of a sudden what should have been the darkest of night, all of a sudden there was the brightest of light. I think there's some significance in the fact that Jesus came when he did. You see, we read on after Zacharias called him the day spring from on high that visited us. If your Bible's still open, look at verse 79 of Luke chapter 1. Why do we need a day spring from on high? Why did we need him to visit us? Here it is. To give light to them that sit in darkness. That's number one. To give light to them in the shadow of death. That's number two. To guide our feet into the way of peace. Here, let me give you a 3-point outline as the plane's descending. All right. Jesus dawned at midnight so that the lost could be saved.
Yes, sir.
See, folks, we're not born into the light. We're born into darkness.
Yes, sir, that's right.
One thing that binds us together, that makes everything even, as far as people is this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And you know what? We are born into darkness and we needed light. You know what? Each and every one of you that have received Christ as your Savior, you have what the Bible calls a testimony. And many of you, if I gave you the opportunity, would be fine, would be bold enough, courageous enough. As a matter of fact, many of you would encountered a rare opportunity to be able to stand and say, let me tell you the day that I was blinded from in darkness, but I was shown the light. And you know what? As you look back on the timeline of your life from the day you were born to where you are right now, let me ask you something. Somewhere along the timeline of your life, is there a day when the glorious gospel shone through? Is there a day when you comprehended salvation? Is there a day when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? You see, we needed that dawn at midnight. We needed the light to come because we were blinded in the darkness of sin. Every single person, nobody's born saved. Nobody's born going to heaven. We're all born sinners. And if Jesus had not been born in that stable and laid in a manger, and then grew up to live a perfect life and die on Calvary's cross for our sins, if he was not willing to do that, and you know what? I wouldn't have a chance to go to heaven and you wouldn't have a chance to go to heaven. And you know what? Jesus dawned at midnight so that those that are lost could be saved. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray that today's the day of salvation. I pray today that you'll be saved. But let me say a word to the Christians. Jesus also dawned at midnight so that his children can make it through their valleys. It goes on to say in verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. You think about that little phrase, shadow of death. Does something come to mind? How about this? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 2019, I watched many of our church folks walk through their valley. But you know what? If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can tell you this. You'll never have to walk through a valley by yourself. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, he came, Jesus came dawning at midnight, shining bright through the darkness because he knew we needed salvation. But he also knew that once we had salvation, we would need a guide to get us through those valleys, the valley of the shadow of death. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That always encourages me. You know what? God may take you into a valley, but he's not going to leave you there. He said, you just stick by me and we'll get through this. And I watched some of our folks go through some valleys this year. I mean, a year ago at this time, you know, Brother Bill, we wouldn't even had on our radar the fact that you may have to face what you had to face with your health challenges. I mean, the C word wasn't even on the radar. And you know what? We didn't have any idea going into a brand new year that he'd have to face that. But I can tell you this, if you go talk to him, he hasn't faced it alone. And the Lord's been with him every step of the way through this journey. And listen, I don't know what I'm going to face in 2020, and you don't know what you're going to face in 2020. But you know, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, not only is he your Savior, he's your shepherd. And he's that light. I don't care how dark the valley gets. If you've got the shepherd, you've got the sun. If you've got the shepherd, you've got the light. And you'll always have enough light to take the next step. I do not know what valley you may have to walk through in this upcoming year, but I know this, if you're a Christian, you do not have to walk it alone. You have a good shepherd to lead you. You have a bright light to guide you. You have a provider to prepare a table before you. You have a Savior that promises you that goodness and mercy shall follow you all through that valley journey. When that last valley is traversed, you have a heavenly home awaiting you, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can I just say it this way, and I hope you'll take one phrase. If you don't take anything else, take this. When life is at its worst, Jesus is at his best. When life is at its worst, Jesus is at his best. The last thing I want to point out, he said this, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus dawned at midnight so that we could share the light of the glorious gospel with others. You know, I thought about that. He talked about guiding our feet into the way of peace, and I couldn't help but think about the armor of God that's listed for us in Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know what? One of the reasons that Jesus came, and he was that bright light that came in the darkness, yes, so that we could be saved. Yes, after we're saved, so that we could have a shepherd to guide us through the valleys. But folks, also, he wants us to share the light of the glorious gospel with every single person we can. Amen. We know the verses, all of us soul winners know it, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We know verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We know verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But too many times we stop reading there. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. And I say this, folks, when I was 16 years of age, I decided that I was going to be a part of that great army that would take the gospel every week and take it out and find people that don't know Jesus and tell them about Jesus. You know what? I signed up for that when I was 16 years of age. I went to an altar down at a youth conference in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The evangelist that week preached a sermon on hell, and then he preached a sermon on the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I saw the horrors of hell, and then I saw what Jesus did in order that I did not have to suffer the horrors of hell. And by the way, when he preached that crucifixion message, he preached it and described the death of Christ so vividly, I felt like I was sitting there watching Jesus die. And you know what? I thought of all the shame that Jesus suffered that day. And I'm not saying this to be funny, but I hope that you understand what he was willing to do for you. He hung naked on that cross. He was so beaten and so bloodied, the Bible says that the people didn't even know. His visage was so marred that they couldn't even tell he was a human being. And yet he did that for us. He didn't have to do it. One word to the Father, 10,000 legions of angels would have spilled down from heaven and rescued his son. He stayed on that cross because he loved me and he loved you. And he was not ashamed to be ashamed for me. And then I fell under great conviction as a 16-year-old young man, and I thought to myself, you know what, here I am, ashamed to speak up for Jesus, ashamed to witness for Jesus, ashamed to share the gospel and even share my testimony. What's wrong with me? I found myself in an altar telling the Lord Jesus, to the best of my ability from now on, I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm going to speak up. Amen. And you know what, folks? Listen to me. That day, I got beautiful feet. I got beautiful feet. They're still beautiful. You want to see them? They are beautiful. Somewhat shocking. Last time AJ and Tabitha was home, Jalen, my little four-year-old granddaughter, Papa had his shoes and socks off, and I was sitting in my recliner, and she was making her way around me, and she didn't realize that, some of you know this, some of you don't, boy, I spill my deepest and darkest secrets in front of the world, but when I was a 17-year-old boy, I cut the big toe off of this foot right here. This foot right here doesn't have a big toe, and for $20, I'll show you after the service. That would be $20 a piece, okay? So be individual, and we want to be able to afford this trip to California. So here I am with shoes and socks off, and this little four-year-old girl's making her way around my recliner, and all of a sudden she stops and stares at my feet, and she reaches out, and she touches where that big toe used to be. She looks over at her mom. She looks over at her dad. She looks up at me, and I'm smiling at her. And she said, "What happened? What happened?" And her mom spoke up and said, "Well, Papa, he cut his big toe off with a lawnmower." And she looked at me and she said, "Why did you do that? Why did you do that?" It's like I didn't get up that morning saying, "You know what I think I'm going to do today? I think I'm going to pull a lawnmower over my foot and cut my big toe off." And where were we? Brother Jeff Reiser, is he in here? Brother Jeff. Well, this is a crazy story. But we were actually, Brother Bud, you were there. You can give witness to this story. One of the strangest conversations I've ever had at the meeting where we go through the details to prepare a funeral, you know, for your wife. And Brother Todd down there, Todd, the funeral director, begins to confess that at times he's never had a manicure, but at times he does go and get a pedicure. And he looked at Jeffrey and said, "You know, you need to try that." And I'm behind him going, "Yes, you do, Jeff. You need to go get a pedicure." And Jeff looked over at me like, "You go get a pedicure. I'll pay money to be there when you put your feet in front of that person. You think I'd get a discount? I mean, they only have to do 9 toes instead of 10. And I think if I pulled my shoes and socks off, a lot of you young people, you'd be scarred for life, traumatized, delete. Lord, how do I get that picture out of my head? And you may say, those are the ugliest feet I've ever seen. But not in God's eyes. Because you know what I get to do every week of my life? Yesterday, I got to take these feet and I got to walk from my car up to a house and knock on the door and tell somebody, hey, there was a day when dawn came at midnight. There was a day, by the way, one of the darkest times in the history of Israel, and yet it should not surprise us that there was a dawn at midnight. And then I could tell them, you know what? At the Rock Run Baptist Church, when I was just 5 years old, there was a dawn at midnight, the day that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And by the way, if you accept Him as your Savior, I'm not going to lie to you. There's still going to be valleys, but you know what? There is a light in those valleys because Jesus is at His best when life is at its worst. And you know what? I've come here today to be able to share this light with you. And you know what? That's the goal. Say, preacher, are you going to talk to us in a couple weeks about what we're going to do in 2020 and the new theme? And all? Absolutely. But can I tell you something? Can I just kind of share with you? We just kind of resort and repackage the same thing because the Great Commission's the Great Commission. What's the plan? The plan is for Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be a lighthouse, to spread the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to try to do it in as effective way as we possibly can, tell people about Jesus. Well, I'm done. Look right up here. If you're here today and you don't know 100% sure that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven, I want you to, for just a minute, forget everybody around you and just really focus on what's going on inside of you. Because I promise you this, if you are here without Jesus, God is trying to communicate to you with you right now. And you know what? There's no magic words that I could say to cause what's happening inside of you to happen. It's a God thing. Say, preacher, I don't know why I feel what I feel right now. There's an unrest in me. It's almost like, I'm not even sure I understand everything you said, but I know I need to do something about it. Let me say this. That's God telling you how much He loves you. That's God telling you that there's a way of salvation. That's light trying to break through the darkness. And you know what? If you'll give us just a few minutes, say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I don't know everything, but I know this. I can't say I'm 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what awaits me. I question. I fear eternity. You know what? God doesn't want you to live like that. You know, we have people trained to take the Bible and open it up and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven before you leave here this morning. You know, Jesus came all those years ago, and here's Zachariah. Can you see him? And he's talking to that 8-day-old baby boy who's going to be the prophet that goes before him. And he says, you know what's happening right now? The day spring hath visited us. The day spring hath visited us. You know what he was saying? There's going to be a dawning. Sunrise is going to happen at midnight. Light is going to burst through the darkness. Yes, we're celebrating the birth of Christ, but we're celebrating something so much bigger. Light came into the world to show us the way to heaven. Let's bow our heads for just a minute. Close our eyes. Let me ask you a question. If you died right now, are you 100% sure that you go to heaven? Can you look back on the timeline of your life and find that place? Yeah, preacher, I know. I can look back and I can find that place where God convicted me of my sin. Somebody shared the gospel, showed me how to be saved. I understood that. And in faith, I called upon Jesus and asked Him to save me. Well, let me tell you this. If you can look back and find that, then you're saved. Nobody can ever take that away from you. And you know what? The Holy Spirit of God, God's Spirit's bearing witness with your heart that you're saved right now. But if you don't know that for sure, preacher, I can't find that time. I've never been saved. I want you to be saved today. You know, we've been busy. We've all been busy during the Christmas time. And we've run around and we've bought gifts for most everybody. But you know what? The greatest gift that you could give Christ today, if you're not saved, is to give him your heart, to give him you, to just choose today as the day that you're going to receive the gift of eternal life. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we begin our invitation in just a minute, Lord, that you would speak to hearts. Lord, I know Brother Brian standing up here at the front. And Lord, we have people ready to take a Bible and show people how to be saved. If there's anyone, someone here that's never been saved, I pray, Lord, just as soon as we begin to sing or for the piano player to play, that, Lord, they'll step from their pew to the nearest aisle, walk to the front, go over to Brother Brian, just say, I just need to know how to be saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. And Lord, thank you that we can take the Bible. It doesn't matter who comes. Whosoever will. Doesn't matter who comes. Doesn't matter what's in their past. Doesn't matter what they've done. Whosoever will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray, Lord, that you speak to that heart. Lord, for others, dear God, Lord, that have already partaken of the light, they've been saved, but they're going through the valley. I pray, Lord, that you'll walk with them and help them and get them through what they're going through, Lord. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd also help us as we be going to a brand new year, and even, Lord, in the holiday season, we'd be willing to share the light of the glorious gospel with others. Use this invitation, Lord, for salvation, for whatever the need is, we pray in Jesus' name.